Coming up on KUCB News, the Unalaska Post Office has a new flag, and the Tustamina Ferry is fine after colliding with a whale. Stay tuned.
Programming on KUCB is made possible by Redfish Electronics. Located in the airport cargo building, Redfish sells computers, Androids, iPhones, iPads, televisions, headphones, and unlocked phones. Business hours can be obtained by calling 359-2205.
Redfish, we got stuff.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. I'm Laura Craigle with some local news on Monday, June 25th, 2018. The Unalaska Post Office is flying a new American flag less than a week after its original red, white, and blue banner was stolen. Postmaster Jemeza Marino-Tickle says the replacement was hoisted Friday thanks to a donation from Mayor Frank Kelty. She says, quote, "We've had so much positive feedback and support from the community in response to the theft. The 4x10-foot flag was cut from its rope last Monday night, about a month after it was hoisted for Memorial Day." Marino-Tickle says the culprit can return the original flag to the post office, no questions asked. The Tustamina Ferry collided with a whale last week while it was traveling between Homer and Kodiak. Julie Spiegel works for the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, and she says passengers witnessed the whale of unknown species breach into the side of the vessel.
Afterwards, the whale was seen swimming abnormally, and then it sank out of sight. From the force of the breach, it is likely that this whale suffered mortal injuries.
The whale also struck the Tustamina's starboard stabilization fin, but state spokesperson Ora Landau says the ferry schedule will not be affected.
Divers took a look at the stabilizer, and it was able to be retracted. The vessel can run safely as is without that one stabilizer, and so we don't anticipate needing repairs at this point.
While the Tustamina is expected to be just fine, officials say they won't learn more about the whale unless its body floats to the surface. The ferry's next stop in Unalaska is scheduled for Saturday. An illegal fishing vessel was intercepted off the coast of Japan this month with 80 tons of chum salmon and a ton of squid on board. U.S. Coast Guard Captain Darren McLennan says the FV Runda admitted to fishing with drift nets up to 5.5 miles in length.
Legally, they can go up to about 2.5 kilometers, so just over a mile of nets. So this vessel had almost 5 times the legal limit of nets.
The Coast Guard cutter Alex Haley detained the Chinese vessel in international waters about 850 miles east of Hokkaido, Japan. McLennan says the 164-foot vessel was first spotted by a C-130 aircraft based out of Air Station Kodiak.
Because of them detecting this, we were able to vector in the Coast Guard cutter Alex Haley, which at the time was about 500 miles away. And what they did then was put boarding officers on board with Chinese ship riders.
McLennan says the joint international boarding was conducted in partnership with the Chinese Coast Guard. The vessel is suspected of violating the worldwide drift net moratorium called for by the United Nations General Assembly. The Runda and its crew are now being escorted back to China for prosecution. This is the first apprehension of a large-scale high seas drift net vessel since 2014. President Donald Trump issued an executive order last week to stop separating families caught crossing the southern border. Now Congress is scrambling to figure out what to do with subsequent families who are journeying toward the U.S. Lawmakers often paint different pictures of what the problem is and who the victims are. And as APRN's Liz Ruskin reports, that's true even within Alaska's all-Republican delegation.
Trump's order will continue the zero-tolerance arrests for border crossers with the intention that children would be detained with their parents. Senator Dan Sullivan says it's good to end the family separations, but the order doesn't solve the underlying problem.
The president's executive order gives a pause and I think brought relief to people who are concerned about the issue, but who knows how long that's going to last because it's going to be litigated.
A 1997 legal settlement says children can't be detained for more than 20 days, even with their parents. Sullivan says lawsuits will make it hard to hold families longer.
Or if 20 days hits, do you just say, okay, you're allowed free to go into the country even though we haven't adjudicated your status? That's the whole issue of catch and release.
Sullivan is concerned about people not coming back to resolve their cases and living in the U.S. illegally. And he sees a problem with people using children, even trafficking children, to game the system.
And the last thing we want to be doing is send the signal that, hey, if you show up in the United States with a child, somehow you're going to get a free pass into the country after 20 days.
Sullivan is co-sponsoring two bills that would provide more family shelters and add immigration judges to expedite court cases and asylum claims. The current family separation crisis began this spring after Attorney General Jeff Sessions imposed the new zero-tolerance policy. But as Alaska Congressman Don Young sees it, the real problem is decades old due to Congress not passing a good immigration law.
Because people don't want to solve the problem. It's a political issue. It's politics. And politics is nasty nowadays, and they're using the children as a pawn, and that's wrong.
And Young, like Trump, says the people at fault are the Democrats. As for the solution, Young wants a wall. But on Mexico's southern border.
If you build a wall in Mexico down there that the bottleneck is, that'd be a pretty short wall. I'd even pay for it. And then we have a chance to check them out before they go through Mexico. What they're doing is coming into Mexico just runs right into the United States.
Young says a compromise immigration bill in the House won't solve the problem, but is better than nothing. Senator Lisa Murkowski, when discussing the border problem, focuses on families from Central America who have legitimate asylum claims. She says many have tried to present their claims at official crossing points but have been turned away because the lines are long and there aren't enough U.S. officials to accept their paperwork.
And so what are those people supposed to do? You've come from a place where you live in fear. You've probably got very little financial assets to get you to return. You're going to walk back 2,000 miles? That's not going to happen.
Murkowski says many may cross the border illegally because they have no other way to contact American officials and apply for asylum. She's working with a group that includes Republican Senator Ted Cruz and Democratic Senator Dianne Feinstein on a bipartisan bill. Unlike a lot of her colleagues, Murkowski doesn't focus on adults who may be exploiting children to better their chances of gaining access to the country.
I don't mention them because I don't know to what degree that is happening. I am not so naive to believe that there are not some bad actors out there.
But she says there are families with valid asylum claims, and she doesn't want to punish the many for the crimes of a few. Reporting from Washington, I'm Liz Ruskin.
For many Alaska Native people, the sight of federal agents taking children from their families is reopening decades-old wounds. KTOO's Jacob Resnick has more.
When I first saw them, I was just absolutely appalled.
Rosita Worrell recalls being forcibly taken from her parents at the age of six. It was the 1940s, and like many Tlingit children, she was sent to live in a federal boarding school run by the Bureau of Indian Affairs. 75 years later, media images of children detained and separated from their loved ones along the southwestern border recall those dark times from her girlhood in Petersburg.
It just brought me back to the days when I was kidnapped and put in a home and crying at night. I'm wondering where my family was.
The context between then and now is markedly different. The federal BIA school in Haines, where she was sent, was part of a broader federal policy of assimilation.
Our Native cultures were viewed as paganistic, heathenistic, and we were to be civilized.
The current crisis along the border stems from stark disagreements in the nation over how to handle economic migrants and asylum seekers. Worrell says there are serious blind spots in some of the vitriol expressed by immigration critics.
I don't think a lot of people think about how Native Americans think about immigration, because if anybody should have problems with immigration, you would think it would be Native Americans. But I think we were realistic in knowing that this is the way of the world. We actually embraced newcomers when they first arrived.
Worrell is a retired professor of anthropology and now heads Sea Alaska Heritage Institute, a Juneau-based nonprofit that advances Tlingit, Haida, and Tsimshian culture. She said there's a moral imperative for policymakers to act.
In the immediate term, you know, we have to do something about those 2,000-plus children who are separated from their families. And, you know, I'm pleased, you know, that the president, you know, made some attempt, you know, with his executive order. I don't think that's going to solve the problem, but we need to solve this problem as a civilized society.
Even with the passing of decades, Worrell says the trauma of being removed from her family still stings. In Juneau, I'm Jacob Resnick.
And that's the news from Unalaska. I'm Laura Craigle, and you're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org. And please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecasts.